Okay, first, could you tell me a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm a political scientist up here in Appleton, Wisconsin, and I have had a long and abiding interest in education policy generally and kind of the public policy process. I'm also pretty interested in how we decide to govern ourselves, especially at the state level. So, I mean, I found this particular project on school boards kind of a marriage of the two. I mean, how we govern school districts in much of the country and how do we measure achievement in schools? Kind of combine both of those interests of mine. But yeah, I teach classes in public policy. I teach classes in just American government, American federalism, and another set of classes that are generally less interesting on political science methods.
So I guess the Fordham Institute, they knew about you through some previous work that you'd done?
Yes. I have a book on education policy, and I also have a book on education governance at the state level that I, by all indications, what they had seen that. I've also done some work on charter schools and how some school districts use them, not necessarily for education, but for funding purposes. And so I think they had probably seen some of that earlier work I'd done and thought that, well, maybe I'd be useful in looking at this other interesting question about school boards.
Okay, so the Fordham Institute, which has a reputation of sort of being, a little right of center, partnered with some other groups, maybe more from the opposite side of the spectrum. Can you tell me, like, the basics of the study, how it was performed, and if you could boil down some of the gist of what it shows?
Sure. The Fordham Institute partnered with the National School Boards Association to conduct a survey of school board members around the country. We wound up with on the order of about 900 observations, 900 responses roughly, from more than 400 school districts in the country, and representing the whole gamut of sizes. So we've got big school districts, we've got tiny school districts, and everybody in between. That survey was meant to kind of get a gauge on what school board members in the country are thinking about, what kinds of challenges they face, what kinds of effects they think they have, and what they think about superintendents. There were also a couple questions to superintendents specifically in that survey. So we came, Michael Hartney, my co-author, and I came to the survey after it had been conducted, and we know what these school board members think around the country. Does what they think really make a difference in what goes on in their districts? So we were tasked with kind of matching up what school boards thought about themselves and their districts with kind of how students were performing, what kind of funding levels districts had, and to a lesser extent, what kind of collective bargaining or teacher work agreements were there in those districts. So we did our best with the data that were available and kind of matched it up. We found a couple of interesting things in there. One of them was that school districts that had boards that emphasized academic achievement, or school board members that said academic achievement was very important, typically served in school districts where academic achievement was better than average for their state, given the demographics of the district and the income level of students and some other control factors in there. So that takeaway message one from the study was that the vision of the school board was somehow connected to how well students were doing in the district. And those districts where the school board kind of didn't really know what their goals were, the students didn't seem to perform as well as you would have expected. So that was kind of message one. Message two was that school boards that had members elected from districts rather than at large typically didn't do quite as well academically. We couldn't draw any causal links between these two, but again, those school board members who came from districts where they were elected at large, students seemed to do better, and we don't have a fabulous amount of explanation for that. We also, under that finding, found that school board members elected in November, kind of the normal election cycle, tended to be more knowledgeable than those elected, more knowledgeable about their district conditions than those elected at other times of the year. That was a little bit, needs to be a little nuanced, because most school board members are not elected in November, so we couldn't be as confident about that particular finding. The third big message from our study was that school board members in general are not terribly well informed, or very well, we'll say it that way, terribly well informed about the actual condition of their district, at least as measured through the survey questions. There were some data limitations there that I won't go into here, but we found that about a half of school board members could, by our measure, categorize their district as having a good amount of funding, having a reasonable level of academic achievement, matched up with the actual data in their district. Half of board members would say things like, our district is really underfunded, when if you look at the data, it was overfunded for that state. Or our school kids are like doing fabulously on state tests, when in fact they weren't. So we found a kind of a disconnect among many school board members between what the data seemed to say about the performance of kids and about the school funding in their district. But that said, okay, in terms of the board members doing their job and having a vision for academic achievement, that didn't matter. Okay, so school boards that had members that didn't seem to have a very good handle on the kind of facts on the ground, that didn't seem to matter for academic achievement. So that's something of a hopeful conclusion, that you can elect people to school boards that aren't down in the trenches every day, and you can still get good results so long as that school board, you know, works together and has some kind of clear vision for the school district.
That's really very interesting. At first, it sort of sounds like you can sort of put people in those positions who are sort of clueless as to what's going on down in the weeds. But then again, you know, their role is not to micromanage. And micromanagement is sort of a buzzword for some of the problems that we've had here in Birmingham. I don't know if you've heard about those, but our local board here, the Birmingham City Schools, one of the knocks on them was they were trying to micromanage the district too much.
Yeah, I did do a little bit of reading up on your school board, and I don't know if I should say I felt heartened, but I noticed that many of the things that one of the audits critiqued your board with were, in fact, findings we found elsewhere, is that boards that didn't have a clear vision or board tended to do worse, and that seemed to be one of the complaints. And board members elected from districts seemed to be more interested in being reelected than in members pertaining to the whole district, something else we found in other districts as well. But, yeah, you're right that school boards seem to fulfill a role of kind of educational visionary, and that means you can't really be dictating too much about what goes on in the schools, I mean, in a particular classroom on a particular day, and maybe that's not really what we want them for. They're elected overseers in some sense, and we delegate some of the more technical responsibilities to the school district administration, and then the administration is going to pay to handle those smaller things.
It's really interesting, because I've spoken with a lot of thoughtful people about the Birmingham situation, which has improved recently, and other situations in this area. And, you know, it seems to be a structural problem when you have people who are elected by certain wards or sub-districts that, you know, they want to get reelected. They're beholden. They see themselves as beholden to those voters as opposed to the children of the district at large. I mean, is it really that simple? Is that really the problem?
Education, as you know, has lots of moving parts, and that certainly is part of it. That the tone a school board brings to a district, it can have very positive or very detrimental effects. And it's not for nothing that big city mayors typically want to kind of disband school boards or run school boards. So down in Chicago or Indianapolis or New York City, right, mayors want to be involved in that because they know that that school board sets a vision and can be good or bad for your district, and they want to claim credit for it. Rather than letting those board members be their own politicians, thinking with their own political interests. And so it certainly is part of the question, is like what kind of electoral responsibility do we want board members to have? who are they actually representing? Are they representing a segment of the community? Are they representing all of the students together? And what, I mean, is this really a representative institution like a legislature? Well, you could have multiple views on that, obviously, but if academic achievement, student performance is something that is important for schools to produce, it would seem that board members should probably not be thought of as kind of representative of parts of the community, but instead representatives of the whole community.
Understood. You were going through a list of some of the major takeaways of the report. Did I cut you off, or did you get to all of them?
I think I got the big ones out.
Okay, great. So you said you had done a little bit of reading on the Birmingham situation, which I appreciate. Do you have any other thoughts on the Birmingham situation specifically?
Well, being a far outsider, I will not try to say too much. It did seem that we often wonder, I mean, school boards are frequently kind of critiqued as not being, I mean, very, very useful or very helpful or being kind of full of amateur politicians. I think your case illustrates that school boards still have a very important part to play, and they can make things, again, very bad or very good. And I think that one of the other findings that didn't make it into the report for space reasons and whatnot was that there's something to be said for a working relationship with superintendents, and that when that goes bad, bad things happen. And I think that from my reading of your situation down there, I mean, that is something that was an issue, that the superintendent and the board did not get along very well. And this really has a lot, does bad things for how well the district operates. And I think that my co-author and I may be looking more into that particular question about how do we divide responsibility between elected personnel, the school board, and kind of hired personnel, the superintendent is typically hired in most districts, and how that relationship correlates with how well the whole system functions.
Very interesting. In Hoover, which is a city right next to Birmingham, there is an appointed school board, and some of the citizens there have sort of felt that those folks are not as accountable as they should be. What do you say to those people?
Well, the short answer is there is no ideal way to to create local governance, in that appointed personnel, right, appointed school boards, there's the advantage of making sure that, well, there's two advantages, I suppose. One of them would be that the people appointed are going to have the very public support of the person appointing them. So whether it's a mayor or some other council, that they know that there's political support there for whatever actions they take because they're appointed for that reason. You also have the advantage of, at least in theory, appointed people having a good handle on what's going on in the district. You can appoint experts, if you will, that would have kind of better knowledge of school finance policy, of curriculum design, and whatnot. But the criticism that they aren't as accountable is legitimate, because if you are not in favor of the person appointing them, you don't really have a say. And there's also some risk there with a school system, right, which employs lots of individuals, that appointed personnel don't have the same kind of empathy or sympathy for the folks working in the schools. And there's a tug of war between those two extremes. Too much accountability, you wind up with politicians on the school board. Too little accountability, you wind up with the possibility for kind of severe cultural clashes between the school board and the teachers and the school administrators. I should, again, preface or include a caveat here, is that when we looked at student achievement, school boards seem to be able to move very small, like 1 to 2% percentile points overall. So they're important, but again, there are other things that really drive what happens in school more. I mean, chiefly teachers. I mean, quality teachers do a lot more for student learning than governance structures around the school board. But that said, I mean, education's complicated, and every point you can get is a good one. But accountability there's other work, there's other work not in our study that looks out of Texas that looks at how well non-white students do based on elections of school boards and whether the design of those electoral systems kind of advances non-whites winning. And there seems to be something of a positive impact there when you design a system where non-whites are able to hold more of those elected positions. So there might be something to that. We didn't look at that in particular, but that line of research is out there as well.
Understood. One interesting point that I got from the report, apparently, liberals and conservatives are less informed than moderates as far as their own sort of what's going on in their own district. Is that right? And also, why is that troubling?
Yes, we found that, and we were initially a little bit not stunned. That's too strong of a word, but very surprised by that finding. But if we did some research and looking at what other people had found in that kind of psychological realm, and in fact it seems that folks who are moderates are less likely to filter data through a preconceived notion of the world. So we know from research in political advertising, for example, that if you already like a candidate, you discard negative information about that candidate. The same kind of thing seems to be going on here with school board members, is that you approach your job with kind of a liberal set of glasses or a conservative set of glasses. You say, here's data that support what I think, and I will ignore anything or most things that would suggest that I might not be right, where moderates don't have that same lens, that same filter, that they put information through, or not as strong of a filter, that they put that information through. So they were much better in our measures, much better able to place the district in terms of how much funding they got, how well the students were doing, what collective bargaining looked like in their district if they had it, than liberals or conservatives did. Now, on one hand, it's troubling in that if you have a liberal or conservative, they're up there kind of spouting the party line. But on the other hand, right, if you want to have, if your school board is somehow representative of a vision, maybe you want people to say, we want to go this direction, whatever place the district is now, in which case the knowledge of a board member is less crucial than their vision. So if you wanted to have a school board that was fairly cognizant of where the district was and maybe had some handle on the challenges the district might be facing in the next couple election cycles, moderates are probably the way to go. But if that board vision is important and the board is supposed to represent kind of where voters in the district want it to go, it's maybe not as troubling that electing liberals or conservatives sends a signal, this is where we want to go with this district, and then the finding that they aren't as knowledgeable isn't as troubling.
Understood. Very interesting. Well, speaking of surprises in the report, according to the report, at least the way I read it, it turns out that insiders, in other words, people who have worked as teachers or school administrators, insiders are not quite as informed as just some regular people from the community, other people serving on the board in some ways. Is that right?
That is what we found, that folks who were currently or had previously worked in education as a profession were much more favorable, well, much less able, again, on the knowledge component, much less able to place the school district where you'd expect, in line with what other outside data said. Our explanation, our understanding of that was it works really kind of like the liberal versus conservative question, is that if you had worked in the school system your whole life as a teacher, let's say, and then now you're on the school board, well, you think about education policy in a certain way. You think about it as, well, I was a teacher. What would this have done for me? We found particularly that when asked about teacher pay, that folks who were or had been educational professionals said teacher pay has got to go up. that's not a surprise because, again, you're thinking about, they would be thinking about their own situations. So that, I mean, again, having board members elected with that job background, you're saying, well, that's the kind of filter we want to have the school board think through. Is like, do we want a school board that has people who think of education from the teachers or educational professionals' perspective? And if so, well, go for that. But they aren't. I mean, you aren't going to get kind of a level, I mean, even-handed view of all possible education options that way. Again, you'll get people who think about their experience first, and that, I mean, that could be good or that could be bad, but it did not help them in kind of matching, you know, again, in our measure, matching the school district with numbers from the state or from the feds.
Right, sort of a perceptual filter sort of thing, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you interpret the world in light of your experience, and teachers in education have a particular view about what the education process is for them, and so those board members in that survey who said that they had that background were much more favorable to kind of we could call them have higher pay for teachers, kind of less emphasis on kind of really hard nose testing, we'll call it that, policies, and that comes again from an experience that they had or have in the classroom.
Understood. You know, in the report, I came across a phrase, the 10,000 democracies of elected school boards, and that sort of gets at some of the complexity here. Is it hard to draw conclusions when there are so many different districts with so many different personalities, so many different variables all across the country?
Sure. The 10,000 democracies is a book about that very question, and it does. There is some any kind of report like this generalizes to some degree. There are lots of personalities in districts. School boards are often kind of the first stop for local politicians, or for many local politicians when kind of aspiring to go on further. There's a lot of really quirky issues that come up on school boards that you wouldn't see in another format. That said, school boards are present. Some form of school board is present in virtually every school district in America. They have the same policy area they deal with. They have to deal with the same kind of federal, the same race to the top, the same federal requirements for No Child Left Behind and whatnot. So they're all in the same situation. And so even though there's lots of quirky personalities and quirky issues that come up that you might not see in a state legislature, for example, you still have people making decisions about the same issues. And so the comparison, it's a valid comparison. Our sample range had enough school board members from enough different sizes of school boards and school districts that we're pretty confident that we have a reasonable picture of what school board members think of. Now, we can't, like, offer advice on specific school boards about specific things because we're generalizing in the report to get a picture of the American school board. But certainly there are enough similarities in school boards across the country to be able to draw some conclusions.
Understood. Some people have commented on the limitations of the study. It's correlational. It's a 2009 snapshot. Would you care to address any of those criticisms?
Sure. We knew we were very well aware of those two particular criticisms that you mentioned about the correlation versus causation, and I mean the data is from 2009. The data one we can't do anything about. It's very difficult to run this kind of survey and to get a good response rate from busy school board members, and so we had to use that data because it's what was available. As far as correlation and causation, again, it's an issue we knew would come up, and our defense of that is that while we cannot say that hiring a school board full of visionaries that are focused on academic achievement will, in fact, get you, like, fabulous academic achievement next year, we did know that there was a very convincing level of correlation between boards that had that vision and student academic achievement in that district. So we couldn't say it caused one or the other, but the correlation was strong enough to suggest that, well, this would be the best odds. I mean, we can't guarantee that this would happen, but it sure seems that there must be something going on there. And again, so it's not a magic bullet, but the data are such that we would be surprised if we found a district that was full of, like, go-get-em board members and things were going badly. So certainly there is a fair criticism of the report that we didn't conduct some kind of cross-sectional overtime experiment. But on the other hand, our numbers, we are fairly confident there's something real going on between board members' vision and how well kids do in their district.
Interesting. Is there anything else? Maybe I forgot to ask you anything else at all that you think our listeners should know?
Well, the one thing to always remember about education research and education governance is it's one of the most comprehensive government policies that interacts with three levels of government, with the local level, the state level, and the federal level. And fixing or reforming one part of that can address problems, but there is no magic bullet for fixing education when it's not working. And I guess kind of really a note of humility would be the way I end this, is that while we found that school boards were part of improving American education, there are certainly many other components that go into it, and they begin at home. And for those reformers on the right and the left who argue for either higher standards or kind of higher teacher pay or changes to changing to the student foundation aid or something, those may be part of it. But as a matter of fact, education is so complicated that none of them will produce a result next year without kind of a concerted effort across all fronts.